We're going to start with the write an angry poem around it.
Write an angry poem.
Okay. Yeah, or what do
you
think?
It's going to go in the order that you sent it out.
Yeah.
Right. Quantum set.
Oh, shit. Oh.
10.
Let's play stab.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Welcome, Stab. This is a comedy game show of sorts. Would you like to meet the contestants?
Yay! Yeah.
Wonderful. Right here we've got, what's your name again? Ben Rice?
Thank you.
Ben Rice. He is here from Sacramento, California. Ben,
yes.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank
again.
You for coming.
Oh, excellent. Not a problem.
Do you have a Twitter?
I do.
Okay, good. Steve Ferris is next. Steve Ferris, he is also here from Sacramento, California. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, great.
I think could be doing just slightly better.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here, unlike the fourth person that was supposed to be on the show. Moving right along, we have Jesse Jones, also out of the metropolis.
Playing to the audience.
Sacramento. Let's hear it for Jesse Jones.
Oh, I'm the only one to get
sick. He's in the third seat, but the first fiddle, which is ironic. You guys ready to play Stab?
Sure.
Let's play it.
Stab is not orange.
This first segment is called Write an Angry Poem About It. Gentlemen, I hope you've written angry poems in regards to the subjects I'm going to give you. Ben Rice, you were to write, have written a poem called How to Properly Whip a Child.
Yes.
Steve Ferris, you were to have written a poem about blood. Jesse Jones, you were to have written a poem, an angry poem, in regards to the World Cup. The World Cup. We're going to start with Ben Rice, starting off with his angry poem on how to properly whip a child.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
This one's called Dun-Dun-Dun-Dun-Dun. Wah, wah. When your child's acting out for no reason at all, you need to restore your clout. You need to stand tall. So when your little runt's being a little bitch, go grab a switch. Go grab a switch. A switch is a stick used for whoopings. A switch is a stick that takes away sins. A switch is a stick that makes your baby cringe. A switch is what is flicked when you're on a drunk binge. And your kids are acting up about demons or wanting a pup. Now that you know what a switch is, it's time to get down to business. Bend him over at the waist, and with smooth and silent grace, caress his buttocks with the tip of your twig. Go slow, man, your switch is so big. Let the branch slide slowly across his thighs. His pink, pudgy, shapeless, undeveloped thighs. Indicative of his endless youth and innocence. Then pull back forcefully and bring it down within an inch. Then chuckle and tell him, no, not yet. Not until you feel true regret. I'm sorry, Daddy, he'll plead and call. And that's when the whipping feels best of all. As you slam and you slash and you whip and you thrash all over his spoiled little ass. And you tremble and shake, and then you get baked, because you'll have realized you just made a terrible mistake.
Ben Rice.
Thank you.
Ben Rice. How to properly whip a child. I'm glad that that was the maiden poem for TV.
They know what they're getting into.
What's that?
Now they know what they're getting into.
Yes, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stab. We're going to continue playing it. Steve Ferris, you were to have written a poem about blood. Steve Ferris, poem
okay.
about blood.
Okay, all right. There is blood inside of it. I want to eat it.
I am so hungry. God damn it. I want to take the blood out of it. But they will not let me do it. For if I were to anyway do it, they would lock me away, and it, they would waste all of it. Even the blood of it. And when they were done with it, they would take the blood out of me.
All right. Great job, Steve. We're going to move right down the way there to Jesse Jones. I suppose I've written a poem in regards to World Cup.
Yeah.
The World Cup that happened a few months ago.
Sure. Or a few years from now.
Correct. It's half empty.
It's probably like 7/8 empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or full. I decided to go, I guess, a little sort of beat. Slam poetry with it.
Slam poetry.
Slamming it. Okay.
Don't slam it too hard.
I'll try not to. World Cup. The world's curled up in the fetal. Another needle in the arms. The foreign masses sitting on their bony asses getting. Their fix of upper classes spitting in their face with a game that's handless. Pitting nation upon nation in a quadrennial vacation from economic stations. An exercise in jingoistic pride behind which we hide our shame inside to avoid the chiding. Of a global community who raise their voice in unity and ask us in the name of their game with the same disdain as when we step off the plane in their sandy native landy and ask again and again why nobody speaks American. They're all United States. Why do you stall? Where do you find the gall to ignore the siren's call of a game understood by one and all from the Rock of Gibraltar to China's Great Wall? Why are you still not down with football? Well, man, the football of my land, of which I am a fan, is played with your hands. You see, it's no shocker we don't get soccer. Bunch of spoiled sports and short shorts flopping to their knees looking for a yellow card. Every stiff breeze hits a fella hard. Grass hockey, we openly mock thee. With your tiny pads and your cute little knee-high socks, we play football here. Covered in pads from ear to ear, saving discussion of repercussions of multiple concussions for after the rush ends. We don't need a World Cup to raise up on a global stage to feel like men. In America, we know it's proper to stop playing soccer when we reach the age of 9 or 10. So have your cup, footy, and drink yourselves to a stupor, because football's real champ wins a bowl. That is super.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Why not see those big claps?
That was write an angry poem about it. Great job. Great job. We're going to move to the next segment. Is that what we call them?
Sure.
Called the Topical Haiku Challenge. It's where you write a few haikus about a topical news story. Are you ready? Here was the subject you were to have written on. For a measly $19 an hour, the government contractor is offering applicants the opportunity to get up close and personal with potential Ebola patients at JFK Airport, including taking their temperature. Okay? Do you understand? I wish you would have written, I wish that you would have written three haiku in regards to this. So we'll go 1-1-1-2-2-2-3-3-3. Understand?
Mm-hmm. To Ben Rice. This one is titled Webola Wobble. Backed by federal authority, I can see your insides melting.
Very good. Steve Ferris.
Okay. Bond 007, JFK undercover. Ebola outbreak.
Great job. And to Jesse Jones.
This first one is titled Airport Lunch.
Nice try, JFK. My bloody diarrhea comes from Sbarro's.
Right. Very good.
All right. This is titled
Ben Rice.
Make it an even 20 and you've got yourself a deal. For just $19, you can experience a bloody rectum check.
Blood, the theme of our show. That's fun.
Seems to be so.
Stephen Ferris.
Okay. ICANN hazmat suit. Hello Kitty, make money. Thermometer test.
Well, to sort of tie the blood and thermometer together, I've got my second haiku titled Employee Manual. Health screener pro tip. If their anus is bleeding, take temp orally.
Wow. It's weird how that worked out.
Well, close, yes. Unfortunately.
And with the third of three haiku,
this one is entitled A Word of Advice. Mm-hmm. Don't want Ebola? Stay away from black folk. Sincerely, all whites.
Please, someone cut. This is a head shake of disapproval.
It's a good thing my third's not racially motivated either.
Well, mine isn't, so. Yeah.
Jesus. Jesse Jones, bring us home.
Stephen
Ferris, bring us home after Stephen Ferris. Yes. Steve Ferris.
Okay, all right. I might miss a few, but what more can I do? For I am a teen wager. So $19 an hour to teen.
Oh, teen wager. Yeah. Wonderful.
My third haiku is what we were doing. Freedom flyers. Now it's not racist to harass black travelers. It's patriotic.
And that was the topical haiku challenge. Moving along to segment number three called Reorganization. You've all been given a list of acronyms. of existing acronyms, and you were to reimagine them and reorganize them. Ben Rice, the acronym you were given was DTF. Mm-hmm. Steve Ferris, you were given SPCA. Jesse Jones, you were given XOXO. Ben Rice, DTF.
All right. DTF now stands for Dogma Terror Force. Pretty self-explanatory, really. The Dogma Terror Force was formed as a predictive counter-movement to any and all attacks on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and any and all of his beliefs. Utilizing the well-known and beloved Fifth Commandment, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, Dogma Terror Force, or DTF, spreads the message of God through the most powerful method of all, a gun in your face. Everyone's a believer on their deathbed, right? Failing that, their secondary plan of attack is yelling. Yelling incessantly until you shut your big dumb mouth. While being DTF isn't for everyone, it certainly should be. God bless America.
Wonderful. Ben Rice, thank you for that. Yes, wonderful. Stephen Ferris, seat number two, riding bitch. The acronym you were given was SPCA. SPCA.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I really like model trains. And so SPCA stands for Stevens Pacific Car Agency. It represents my collection of model train cars. And a lot of them are from railroads like Southern Pacific, Western Pacific, and Union Pacific. I also have some that are from other railroads, you know, like Santa Fe. They don't have Pacific in the name, but, you know, railroads, you know, the cars go all over the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you might have a another railroad car that ends up, you know, traveling along the Pacific.
Right.
Right now, a lot of the cars are, you know, stored in their boxes, you know, because the layout, my layout is under construction, and you know, but eventually I'll get them out, and then you know, what did it? Oh. You know, it takes time, you know, the construction part. So it's just probably going to be a while before I get them out again. But, you know, I have the collection.
Right.
And that's it. SPCA. Stevens Pacific. Car Agency.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, thanks.
Good job.
Thank you.
Right. We're going to move to Jesse Jones now. Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
That's good stuff.
That was... Jesse, the acronym you've been given was XOXO.
Yes.
XOXO.
Yeah, which is now the Xenophobics Only Xylophone Orchestra. Mm-hmm. The orchestra consists entirely of American-made marimba, balafons, and semitrons, manned by God-fearing, red-blooded, all-American xylophonists, which I'm fairly sure is how you pronounce. You wouldn't say xylophonist. That's just... We come together through a mutually shared love of patriotic music played as it was meant to be heard on Jesus' own inside-out piano. Shit, man, you ain't heard the Battle Hymn of the Republic until you heard it played by seven burly rednecks hitting differently sized blocks of wood with little sticks. Each one of these magnificent instruments has been handcrafted from this country's finest of hardwoods, be it aspen, birch, cherry, butternut, dogwood, elm, hickory, oak, persimmon, poplar, redwood, sassafras, sourwood, sweet gum, sycamore, or walnut. All your good, strong United States hardwoods is represented. You ain't gonna find even a sliver of that bullshit maple or faggy spruce on any of these proud American rigs. You wanna join up, you better come correct, son, because if you try and come to this group of good old boys of percussion timber with some bullshit lithophones or metallophones, you better make sure you got your running shoes on. And to those kraut-sucking goose-steppers at Gash, the Glockenspiel Appreciation Society and historians, next week's Battle of the Unconventional Bands is going to feel like Normandy all over again, only more whimsical and cartoony sounding.
Thank you very much. That was reorganization.
Reorganization, yes.
Yes. Yeah. That brings us to our next segment that we like to call Movie Makeup. The comedy scientists here at STAB came up with some movie titles that you were to come up with a synopsis for or a description of the movie. Ben Rice, you were given the title Getting to Know My Tongue. Mm-hmm. Steve Ferris, you were given the movie title Steak Stakeout. STEAKSTAKE. Out. Mm-hmm. Jesse Jones, you were given Cheese Shiver. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with Ben Rice with Getting to Know My Tongue.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Love, lust, chin, spin, itch. Thrusting, glistening, slippery, wet. Watch in amazement as young Harry Quivering Rod explores his carnal desires. Darting his most manly muscle
into and out of twitching twats and gaping gashes. This throwback to a bygone era of pornography will leave you breathless as Harry's thick, throbbing red mouth meat jabs deeply, slowly, into the waiting pubis of any and every comer. And oh, the excitement as the women he probes with his altered proboscis return the favor, slobbering on his succulent man meat while moaning in ecstasy. Marvel as he mashes his mandible against some random gal's gluteus maximus, and shriek in glee as the gods divine who will survive. It's a dazzling affair as lips linger too long and coiled tongues unfurl in the most unexpected of places. It's a seven-course meal of gluttony and sin in the din of the dankest basements of Silicon Valley. As the saliva flows in every direction, pouring from the slick mouths, mounds, muffs, and monsters of so many dames, dudes, studs, and starlets. And even featuring a special appearance by a famous Lothario. Oh my, how the tables have turned as Quivering Rod slams his popsicle sucker against the engorged cuntbuster of 70s icon. Of 70s icon Lou Ferrigno. And marvel at the stunning conclusion as hundreds of licking appendages bury themselves in every orifice, every pore of Harry's being as he deftly tries to return the favor. So much more than diction is done with the tip of the tongue in the teeth. In the low budget ass suction thriller XXX extravaganza, getting to know my tongue.
Wow.
Thank you.
I am super hard. Great job, Ben Rice. You still have a Twitter account?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Probably not much longer.
Stephen Ferris, you were given the title of a movie called Steak Stakeout, S-T-E-A-K-S-T-A-K-E, out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it.
Okay, well, we'll see how hard you get on this one. Steak Stakeout, starring Paul Hogan, Linda Kozlowski, and Al Pacino, directed by Quentin Tarantino, producers Guillermo del Toro and Peter Jackson.
Star-studded cast.
The fourth installment in the Crocodile Dundee trilogy finds Mick and his wife Sue 13 years after the third installment, which was 13 years after the second. A mafia kingpin turned businessman, Pacino, owns a handful of Outback Steakhouse restaurants, but has turned to selling kangaroo meat as beef in the restaurants and using the restaurant as a front to traffic endangered species from Australia. So it's kind of a mixture of you know...
Crocodile Dundee.
What's that one with Matthew Broderick?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
No, is it the Freshman, I think?
Okay.
And it has, you know, the Godfather guy. One night, Mick and Sue are in the Lake Tahoe area and decide to eat dinner at one of the Outback Steakhouses. While eating her steak, Sue remarks that it tastes funny. Mick realizes that it's because it tastes like kangaroo, and storms into the kitchen with his knife. In the back of the kitchen, he catches the mafia red-handed, cutting up the body of a kangaroo with handsaws. Mick tells them, "That's not the way we do it back home, mate." Or, "That's not the way we do it back home." Right? He pulls out his knife, but the mafia guys subdue him because he's so old.
They kidnap him and lock him up in a dark room. They get him addicted to smack. And he starts having these weird hallucinations with really mean-looking giant kangaroos and stuff. Sue gets worried and calls the police, who then do a stakeout of the Outback Steakhouse. They manage to free some kangaroos that were being held captive, and then suddenly the hallucinations that make us having to stop, and Al Pacino's character dies of old age. Sue and Mick are reunited, and Sue wonders how he was able to quit shooting up smack so quickly. He tells her, that wasn't smack, this is smack, and pulls out a syringe, just a really big, you know, meant for a horse or something. A little bit of a callback.
Right, to the, it's not a knife.
That's not
this
a knife.
This is a knife,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
I remember that.
Right.
That was the end?
Yeah, that's the end.
Oh, that was good.
Then, you know, the credits would roll.
The credits would roll, of course.
That's a full treatment.
Yes, thank you.
Start outlining that.
Yeah, I think that needs to be made. Yeah.
All right.
If anyone out there in the movie-making world would want to... It's called Steve Ferris.
It'd be better than the third one anyway. So.
Yeah. You can't... The first one's the best.
Didn't even know
I like the second one.
I didn't know there was a second one either.
Well, I knew the second one. I didn't know there was a third.
Really?
Yeah.
2001.
Oh, well.
How old is Paul Hogan right now? All right.
Tangents.
Jesse Jones, bring us home on this segment with the movie titled Cheese Shiver.
Cheese Shiver. Wensleydale is the kind of place where if you can't fight the monster inside you, you just might lose your rind. Yeah, puns, everybody. Get ready for more. Something stinks in the Swiss government, and it's up to Detective Colby Jack to expose the holes in the justice system. Pulled into a world of police corruption, organized crime, and sharp, aged passion, Colby and his partner, the loose cannon Marble Cheddar, get a tip from the sultry Somerset Bree that the King River gold theft might be more than meets the eye. And from there it becomes a breakneck race against time as Marble and Colby have to rescue billionaire heiress Jubilee Blue from the clutches of the nefarious smoked Gouda. To have any hope of stopping a gang war between rival mob bosses Fromaggio de Capra, Gorgonzola Cremificato, and Asiago Diavelo. Sony Pictures Animation presents Cheese Shiver with the voice talents of Josh Brolin as Colby Jack, Emma Stone as Somerset Bree, Lawrence Fishburne as Smoked Gouda, and Danny Trejo as Queso Blanco. Cheese Shiver, rated PG-13, where justice is always firm and full-bodied, and the only thing runny are the criminals.
That was movie makeup. It was a damn good movie makeup. Thank you guys for making that the best movie makeup segment we've ever had today. It was wonderful.
Nailed it.
This next segment is called Department of Tourism. You guys have all been hired as your new city's tourism director, and you need to have written something that makes us want to come to your city. The city you were given, Ben Rice, was Bon Joviville. Stephen Ferris, you were given the city the model train town from your front room. The aforementioned, thank you for working that in. And Jesse Jones, you were given For Skinnington Harbor. So, let's play Department of Tourism, Ben Rice.
All right. Welcome to Bon Joviville, a little New Jersey living just a steel horse rides away. Imagine if you could take a little run away to the most gorgeous and pristine mansions this or that side of the Mississippi and, whoa, you're halfway there because you'll actually be living on a prayer. That's right, here at Bon Joviville, we found a way to manifest your innermost wishes, desires, and deepest, darkest secrets into your own one-of-a-kind dream home. because it's your life, it's now or never. You're not gonna live forever. You just wanna live where you belong. And where you belong is in a secure sky fortress amongst the angels. Or at least amongst people with the angelic voice of rock and roll Hall of Famer John Bon Jovi. As an added bonus, you'll find everything as pristine as John's luscious locks themselves. That's because here at Bon Joviville, we do an annual spring steening. That's that famous New Jersey hospitality. But be careful, the floors are slippery when wet. Our prayer homes give inner city living a bad name, bad name. But if you're not ready to settle down and make the move to Bon Joviville, that's okay. Take your time. Maybe seek some professional advice from the Richie Samboracle, our very own fortune teller. Lay your hands off his brand new six string. He bought it at the five and dime. And you'll see what your future holds. Spoiler alert, you want to live in Bon Joviville. It's the town that wants to be with you. Deep inside, I know you feel it too. Look, those last two references weren't at Bon Jovi songs. They're just done by really great imitators that deserve your respect. But you'll find no imitations here in Bon Joviville, where truly splendid living is always wanted, dead or alive.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
That was just wonderful. I didn't know you had so much range.
Oh, I'm so sick.
No, it was good. I loved it. Steve Ferris. Right. The town you were given, the model train town from your front room. Yeah. That exists.
Well, the town hasn't actually been built yet. I have a modular N-scale model train layout in my apartment, and it's the shit. It hugs the wall, so it doesn't take up a lot of space, you know, so there's a lot of room in my apartment for other people to come in and look at it, you know. You know, it has lift-out bridges. You don't have to worry about, you know, having to, you know, crawl underneath the layout or anything like that to get inside the living room.
Mm-hmm.
You just lift the bridge and in you go. So far, I've laid track on about 8 of 13 modules that will be part of the final design. You know, it just really takes a long time to get the work done. You know, each module has a block of wood at the end, and then they connect. You know, IKEA furniture has those those cam locks. Then you turn the key and then it pulls it together or whatever. So I'm using those and then like little wooden dowels at the end of each module to connect them. And then I have to put screws in the top and solder the rails to the screws. That way I don't have to worry about rail joiners or anything. Like that, you know, I just boom, cam lock, and it's done. Make sure everything's aligned. You know, the dowels help with that.
Right.
You know, so if you were to come on a tour of it right now, you know, you'd be able to see all this craftsmanship that I put into it.
Do you think we could do that, Steve? Do you think we could have little extras on our website? We could go into your home and videotape your creation?
Yeah, you know, just give me a little bit of a notice.
Okay. Just not show up with a film crew.
Yeah. Yeah, get some things that I, you know, don't want people to see. But that's just a joke. Now, you know, there may be people familiar with the downtown Sacramento area. I'm building, so this is the town that John talked about. I'm going to be building just a little bit of a recreation of the train that goes through the middle of downtown Sacramento, except I have two tracks instead of one. And then I'm using satellite images from Google Maps, printing them out and then laying them down on there to kind of, you know, so I can position the scenery exactly the way that, you know, it is. And then I, you know, wanted to have, you got to have a train yard, right? Everybody, I mean, you know, you just see the tracks out there in the wilderness or through a town. And then it's like, well, where do you park the train? So you got to have a, you got to have a little yard. And there's something about watching a train go by and then there's a bunch of trains that are parked. And so you see the, you see the moving train go by the parked train. So you got to have that. And so I'm building a yard, but.
All right.
Am I out of time or?
We are out of time.
Yeah, okay. That's all. I think that's all people need.
You check back to our website and see the extended version. Yeah. Of that. Those. Was there more?
No, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you,
good,
Steve.
Good thing the fourth dropped out.
Yes.
Extra time.
Yeah, that was more than I wrote. I just started going off a little.
No, good. I understand.
All right.
Went off the tracks a little.
Yeah, right. So the tracks aren't all there, so right. Of course I'm...
You went off.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Jesse Jung, thank you, Steve Ferris, for giving us the insight into your world. Yes. Jesse Jones, you were given the Department of Tourism. Your town is called Forskinnington Harbor.
Tis.
Forskinnington Harbor.
Forskinnington Harbor. Located just a piece off Shafley Acres, Forskinnington Harbor offers thrill seekers and romantics alike an experience that's truly a cut above the rest. For those looking for a workout, just take a trip down the smooth, rolling countryside of Shafley Acres and enjoy an afternoon backpacking through the pubis national forest and marshlands. This lush, coarse landscape offers novices and veterans alike a fragrant, humid trek through nature's tangled landscape. The density of the forest is known to change from time to time, ranging from wild and unkempt to neatly pruned, as forestry styles move in and out of fashion. But that's just the tip of the Funberg here at Forskinnington Harbor. Visitors to Forskinnington Harbor are invited to pull back the veil of mystery surrounding the region's most closely guarded hidden treasure, Mushroom Head Cove. This is the most geologically sensitive location in the region, so visitors are warned that enthusiastic, even vigorous exploration of the terrain has been known to cause messy eruptions from the usually dormant Mushroom Head Cove geyser. These eruptions can range from explosive torrents to mild dribbles, depending on how recently the geyser has last erupted. So come and be blown away by a view you'll have to see to believe. Because once you've taken in all the wonders that the full Forskinnington Harbor experience has to offer, you'll wonder how you've ever settled for anything less.
Department of Tourism. Department of Tourism. Thank you, gentlemen. Department. This brings us to our last segment on the first ever filmed version of Stab.
Yay!
This last segment is called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Ben Rice, you were given the dating profile of a maimed puppy. Steve Ferris, you were given the dating profile of Steve Ferris. Jesse Jones, you were given the dating profile of a misogynist centaur named Gregory. Ben Rice, be the first to reveal your dating profile from a maimed puppy.
I'm very sorry. This is from username The Real Bob Barker 69.
Okay.
Sup, bitches? Look, I'm going to cut right to the tail chase. I'm missing my tail. I hope that doesn't give you pause.
Pause.
See what I did there? I can't, as I am blind in my right eye as well. They say that you can either sink into the trauma or develop a sense of humor about it. I developed a sense of humor. Also a brain tumor. But enough sad stuff. Other than that, I'm as playful a pup as you'll ever come across. I love heavy petting. Long walks in tick-infested wooded areas. And dragging my butt across the world's finest... And dragging my butt across the world's finest carpets and rugs. Mm. Oh, it tickles me just right. I'm looking for someone to share my kibbles and bits with, if you know what I mean. And what I mean is that small patches of my fur and skin are constantly peeling off. And I'm very sorry if that grosses you out. Maybe stop judging me? I didn't pick my owner. He picked me. You're victim blaming, and that's unbecoming of you. I'm sorry. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the circumstance. All my life, it's been a revolving door of women cooing about how cute I am. And what kind of monster would do this to a poor, innocent pup? And yet after 5 minutes of play and snuggles, they're off again. Off to find the perfect dog, not some beat-up furball like me. So here I am, giving it the old college try online. I'm just a tramp looking for his lady to Labrador. To find a fetching partner. Mm. P.S. Don't hit me up if you plan on literally hitting me up.
Ben Rice. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. We're going to move along to Steve Ferris. Steve Ferris, please have written a dating profile from the perspective of Steve Ferris.
Okay. Well, this one was really easy. I just copied my OkCupid profile and printed it out. So, I'm looking for straight girls only. Ages 18 to 39. Yeah, but... near me, who are single, for new friends, long-term dating, short-term dating. My details, orientation straight, ethnicity white, height 5'11 and a half, really. Body type average, I think, right? diet, mostly anything, smokes, no, drinks rarely, well, that's not really true. But, I'm not an alcoholic or anything like that. Drugs, never. I got a contact high one time when I was 20, but, that's 12 years ago, so, okay. religion, other, but not too serious about it, right? Sign, Leo, and it's fun to think about. I didn't write the "and it's fun to think about."
Right.
That's just an okay, keep it thing.
Right.
Okay. Education, dropped out of a 2-year college. I've gone on and off for the past 10 years, but I didn't have that as an option. Job, technology, income, rather not say. Relationship status, single. Relationship type, just a dash. I don't have to go back and look at that. Okay. Offspring, doesn't have kids but wants them. Right? John has kids, so I'm just like looking to him for advice there.
Yes.
pets, likes dogs and likes cats, speaks English fluently. Myself summary. I'd love to meet some new people with whom I click, so I'm on here for that, but I'm also on here to promote my dream of becoming a successful comedian, dancer, singer, actor, healer, and spiritual guide. You can learn more about me at whatdoyouguyswantodo.com, youtube.com/WDYGWD, what do you guys want to do? Twitter at whatdoyouwantodo. Come to a show, and we'll talk after. Also, remember this, just because I'm a comedian doesn't mean I'm funny. It means I obsess over the things that make people laugh, and I love performing. Thoughts on love. What are we but a network of complex pathways through which energy travels and is ultimately expressed? Our bodies act as filters for energy, and each of us filter it differently. I think that's what compatibility is. What I'm doing with my life. I like to make people laugh, so I've been doing stand-up comedy for a while. I spend most nights going to open mics or shows. I also have a gazillion hobbies and projects, many of which I will never finish, but some of which I hopefully will. I'm really good at writing really stupid but original jokes and funny stories, writing CSS style sheets, JavaScript, and some PHP. Knowing how mechanical things work, soldering. The first things people usually notice about me, my hair, at least that's what some people tell me they notice. There might be other things they don't tell me about. I'm frequently told that I look like a serial killer. I guess because I'm white. favorite books, movie, shows, music, and food. Books, I love looking at books with historical photographs, especially aerial views. but I spelled Ariel like Ariel from The Little Mermaid. I was by accident. Anyway. read an Agatha Christie mystery recently. I liked it a lot. Movies. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Evolution, Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Unforgiven, Every Which Way You Can, Any Which Way But Lose, The Day of the Jackal, The French Connection, 1 and 2, Master and Commander, etc. Shows, Sherlock, Lillehammer, The OC, Dexter, Magnum P.I. How much more time do I have? It's almost
about
done.
About that time.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a little bit more, but... no,
again, we'll put it on our extended...
You can
cuts.
Go on OkCupid and look for
or just
you can find me on there.
Is great job.
Want to do?
It is. Yes. Yes, I changed it to that. It used to be Lawnmower Fighter. I started taking it slightly more seriously.
So. Yeah. It's good. You should.
Yep.
And also have kids.
Yep.
Jesse Jones, bring us home with this final prompt of dating profiles with fictional and or non-fictional. Yeah. Yours was a misogynist misogynist centaur named Gregory.
Mm-hmm. This is a Plenty of Fish profile.
Oh.
Hoof Thunder Majesty 74. Mm-hmm. Last online 8 minutes ago. 314-year-old mythological liminal being. Hometown Mount Pelion, Thessaly, Greece. Seeking nymphs, 14 to 17 years old. Located within 3 days, moderate travel of Mount Pelion. For dating, nothing more. No demigods or bitches. Past relationships, 206 times self-widowered. Do you have kids? Yes. 93 known living offspring. 37 sons killed in patriarchal challenges. 17 daughters taken as wives, now deceased. Hey, when in Greece, right? LOL. Do you want kids? Not sure. Ethnicity, biracial, half Caucasian, half chestnut equine. Body type, horse-ish. A few extra pounds. Height, 26 hands. Religion agnostic, smokes occasionally, drinks, social drinker, maybe one or two. Longest relationship, less than a year. Interests, rape, territory, misogynist, centaur. territorial skirmishes, forced sodomy, galloping, torture, ritualistic sacrifice to the greatness of Gregory, and cuddling. Ideal first date. Gregory would pick you up at your village, snatching you from the presumed safety and security of your family and loved ones to the cacophonous clatter of heavy, menacing hoofbeats and the bone-chilling, maniacal laughter of a terrible hybrid man-beast unbound by any rules of nature or civilization. And then we'd see where the night takes us. It would most likely be an evening filled with the detailed recountings of untold battlefield triumphs and the litany of legendary foes who have fallen beneath the indestructible broad axe of Gregory the Invincible, interspersed amongst a smattering of light sexual assault. About Hoof Thunder Majesty 74? I, Gregory the Invincible, am currently not interested in a long-term relationship, and am instead seeking only as many willing or at least weak enough for it to not matter, receptacles as I can procure in which to deposit my mighty seed. If this sounds like something you would like to subject yourself to, simply whisper my name into the night and await my manifestation. You will know my arrival is imminent by the approaching wails of anguish on the horizon. Serious inquiries only. I have no time for drama queens or transmogrified tricksters.
That was Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out and seeing Stab. Stab is over.